Good morning, Tappers. What's going on? Charlie here with you for another edition of the Daily Tap. It is Wednesday, June 27th. It is another rainy start here in Milwaukee. I guess it's supposed to clear up this afternoon, which I know a lot of you will appreciate if you're heading down to Summerfest tonight. It is the first night of Summerfest. We're talking about that later. We're going to talk about trying not to overreact with Freddie Peralta. And we're also going to talk about the LeBron-a-thon. Get all into that today. SnowTap WI is where you can find us. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You know you can also subscribe on iTunes. You subscribe on Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher. I have a few things in the works on the socials in the coming weeks that I'd recommend you guys check out. Some things I'm trying to lock down. So maybe give us a follow here and there. I'm just saying. I'm not saying, but I'm saying. So it's a good time. Thanks, everybody, for checking out the Eric Bledsoe piece we did yesterday. That did really well about him pretty much, I thinking it being the end for him, as along with a couple trade suggestions and threw the LeBron thing into the mix. So, and we'll mention that, I think, when we talk about LeBron here later this podcast. But first, you've seen it on the blog. If you guys have read this morning, the Freddie Peralta hype machine is in full effect. I mean, Freddie Peralta faces a Kansas City Royals team. Now, granted, Kansas City's been really bad. They've lost 19 of their last 23, including yesterday's loss. But the Royals do not really strike out. The Royals aren't a team who is a strikeout team. Their K rates are pretty low in the league, and they have some guys who can put in contact, like Whit Merrifield, Salvador Perez, and Freddie Peralta struck out 10 of them. I mean, he struck out 10 Royals. He only allowed one hit to Alberto Mondesi. Mondesi actually had the only two hits in the game, one being a home run off Dan Jennings. But Freddie Peralta was absolutely magical on Tuesday. Jose Fernandez got thrown around as someone asked Christian Yelich, "Oh, which rookie pitcher does he remind you of?" "Oh, yeah." And Yelich, I guess, paused and goes, "Do you want me to say it?" Like, he knew exactly what he was doing. I'll have to ask Mitch about that, because Mitch was at the game last night, and we'll have to ask him on the podcast for Friday and see how that interaction went, because it felt like in McKelvey's Gamer that it was a little awkward that this question was posed to him. But, you know, obviously Christian, you know, you can't skirt around it right now. Like, Freddie Peralta is a complete stud, and I'm trying really hard not to overreact. And I feel like with the Brewers, I may be at my peak pinhead. So when you see a guy like this, you're like, holy fuck, this could be the ace of the future. This could be the guy that we've been waiting for. I mean, and you look at him and he's undersized. He's only 21. You wonder, can he handle that sort of pressure? And I think when you've seen some really good baseball teams throughout the annals of time, sometimes a young pitcher comes in and just is a complete difference maker. I think back to Yordando Ventura, rest in peace, for this Kansas City team, who came in like a lightning bolt in 2014. I think of Francisco Liriano when he bursted on the scene to compliment Johan Santana when the Twins had a fantastic team. Still couldn't beat the Yankees because that's the Minnesota Twins. But regardless, there are examples. Fernando Valenzuela is probably the premier example. Fernando Mania. I don't know if we're at Freddie Mania yet, but we'll get there if he continues to pitch like this. I made the case on the website this morning. You can go back and read it. That, yeah, there's definitely a cause to be made that he should stay in the rotation. I realize that it's really hard. The Brewers have all their starters are pitching well. They're one of the best rotations in baseball right now. And oh, by the way, two of their guys who could have been in this rotation are on the DL and potentially coming back, Zach Davies and Wade Miley. I think you trade Wade Miley. I like what Wade Miley did, but I feel like you should just deal Wade Miley, get a bench bat, get a guy who maybe he's a defensive shortstop so you can put RC in the minors and cover your ass with Brad Miller and just send – I know a team will take Wade Miley. I know Miley's done enough. I realize he's been injured. He's been banged up, but I don't really – foresee a spot on this roster right now for Wade Miley. Zach Davies is an interesting one. The Brewers have all this time. They play games literally until the All-Star break. You could potentially go with the six-man rotation. It could fuck a lot of guys up. I know six-man rotations are not ideal, but I feel like maybe that is what you do. And then you reassess how this team looks like after the All-Star break. I'd like to see Freddy Peralta against a good team. He hasn't really faced a good team yet. I mean, Minnesota gave him fits, and I think that was more due to just sort of that hype around him became, you know, crazy. And now, you know, his next start would be against Cincinnati on Sunday. So once again, a marginal baseball team. But he would probably have to face the Braves if he'd stay in the rotation. And that would be a great test. Braves are a very good team. And I think we need to see Freddy Peralta against some of the top tier teams before a decision can be made. Now, the other guy who's kind of ass is in the jackpot, if you will, is Zach Davies. Because Zach Davies has not been good this year. I don't know if Zach Davies can be a bullpen guy. He just doesn't have the stuff to sort of come in and make an impact. I guess you could put him in as a long reliever type, but yeah, I don't know. I think if anyone is sort of feeling back against the wall, it should be Zach Davies. He might not be like as ready as I think he is. He's pitching for the Timber Rattlers on Thursday, so maybe the Brewers wait till the All-Star break. I don't know. I think there's a lot of interesting things at work here with this rotation. And obviously, the Brewers did pit the ball well. Ryan Braun, Jesus Aguilar, Christian Yelich all homered. It was great to see that. I didn't watch a ton of the game. I have to shout out Facebook Watch. I don't know if you guys have done this yet, but Facebook Watch, if you like type in Brewers Royals, right? They do the recap of the entire game. Mitch has mentioned this on the podcast before, but this is the first time I've done it. It was awesome. Like, I was able to watch literally the entire game and got a good idea of all the things that happened during him. A lot of the Peralta, I think Facebook had all 10 of the strikeouts. I think it's just a really good, effective tool. And just want to let you guys know that if you do miss a Brewer game or you're like, what is Charlie talking about? I didn't pay that close attention. Yeah, go back and watch that. That's a good way to get an understanding of what happened, you know, in yesterday's game. And I don't think there's any other notes. I think the another interesting thing to mention, and I don't know how it can be done throughout the season when the Brewers are healthy, but Ryan Braun at second base or at second base at hitting second is very effective. I think that's something people have called for a long time, and we saw a pretty good result out of it today with two hits. He walked. He had a double and a home run. He hit the ball, two really loud hits. I mean, obviously the home run, but that double scraped the wall. And if it gets a little more air, I think if it's a hot summer night, that might be a home run for Braun. So he really hit the ball well. I don't know if it's just the pitcher, because Junis kind of is a gas can. Obviously, he's given up 22 home runs leading the major leagues. So he definitely is a dong machine, if you will. But Braun should definitely stay in that two hole until Lorenzo Cain comes back. I think the Brewers lineup today was pretty solid. I think obviously, do you want to hit Aguilar fifth when Travis Shaw comes back? I don't know. That would be the only case to be made to have, but Thames Yelich back to back, you have the lefty lefty. And so with Braun, you split that up. And even when then I guess you go lefty lefty with Shaw. But I don't know. Maybe you hit Shaw fifth. Shaw hasn't been obviously as good as he's been in the last couple of weeks, bothered by that wrist injury. And we'll see what happens. And as mentioned, yeah, Lorenzo Cain went on the DL. From what Craig Counsell says, it could just be like an eight-day stint. The Brewers do need to get healthy. I'd have no problem if they ended up DLing Travis Shaw as well. I know that the Brewers, obviously, you would not like that, but they don't have that difficult of a schedule until the All-Star break. I know they don't have a day off. The only real tough thing is a four-gamer with the Braves, but they have four games with the Padres, or the Pirates, the Marlins, the Twins, the Reds, and one with the Royals here. Those aren't very good teams. So the Brewers, obviously, if this was the time to be hurt, it's this time. This is a good time for the Brewers to be a little bit banged up compared to other parts of the season. So as mentioned, Summerfest starts tonight. Heads up, I don't usually give these kind of heads up, but the president is also in town this evening. So downtown is going to be a fucking nightmare. So if you have any like plans to be in that area vicinity of the business district in Third Ward, I would stay the hell away. I'm gonna probably try to get out of work a little early so I can avoid this chaos. As for Summerfest itself, artists worth going to see, sort of that top tier, mid tier, and bottom tier, or not bottom tier, but just sort of third tier. Obviously, Imagine Dragons, I would put Imagine Dragons sort of in that mid tier. I don't know if I'd actually pay money to go see Imagine Dragons, but that'd be one of those concerts where if someone offered you tickets, would you say no? I don't think I would say no. Imagine Dragons tickets. Oh, sorry about that. I was messing around with something and I was like, did I just hit mute on my thing? And that looks like that was the case. So sorry if that was a little technical difficulty there. But yeah, I wouldn't say no to Imagine Dragons tickets. I think they have a little bit of a, I wouldn't say Nickelback, that's too tough, but there are people like to give them shit just because they are everywhere and their songs seemingly seem to pop up at every street corner. But yes, I'd go see Imagine Dragons. I'd say number one is probably Alessio. Alessio is part of Swedish House Mafia, if you're familiar with the famous EDM group. He's playing at the Miller Lite Oasis. I would definitely go check him out if you are into the EDM scene. I think EDM at Summerfest is tough because they do have the benches. It's not like an EDM show where it's kind of everybody can dance and jump around. And I think the benches make it a little more difficult. I know renovations have been made. I really haven't done a lot of ground shows these days, but I know that they've done some renovations to maybe curb some of that. But still, I'd go and see him if you're heading out to Summerfest tonight. Also, Lil Uzi Vert's there. Lil Uzi Vert's interesting. I wouldn't say I'm a huge Uzi fan. I like some of his stuff. I think some of it's a little off the wall, but should be a fun show. I think if you're like, I want to stay the hell away from the youth, I think the youth goes to Uzi Vert. I think Alessio will have a decent amount of youth, but I think you'll spread it out because Swedish House Mafia has been around forever. So I think you'll get some of the older EDM heads. And you'll also then with Uzi Vert, you're going to get just all young people. You will feel very fucking old if you're there and you're above the age of 25. Lastly, if you want to dial it back, you want to throw it back a little bit, All American Rejects are on the U-Line Warehouse stage. I don't know what All American Rejects have done since Move Along. I enjoyed some stylings of the All American Rejects, but definitely not a band that I would think would be a main stage at Summerfest. I think the Wallflowers are on the Oasis stage tomorrow, so maybe we'll talk about that because that's kind of wild. Moving to the LeBronathon. So LeBron has to make his decision. We know it. I know it. We don't know if that's going to come on Friday, if that's going to come over the weekend. Definitely, I would say, and I'm using the term again, but Mitch and I's asses are in the jackpot again with having a Friday pod. Sort of, we'll get a lot of NBA news coming out. So that's Saturday. Daily Tap will be very important. I will probably tape a Sunday Daily Tap. I haven't really been doing Sundays just because you guys are busy in the summer. But with the impending free agency stuff, I will probably have a podcast on Sunday. So look forward to that. But LeBron James, it seems like from everything you read, from everything you hear, it's down to Los Angeles or Cleveland. I think Magic Johnson's comments yesterday almost made it seem like LA was second, because Magic goes, I'm Magic Johnson. And kind of like, he's like, I've dealt with much more things than free agency. Basically saying he'd fire himself if they don't bring in big name free agents. And now a lot of things, if you listen to Kevin O'Connor talk to Bill Simmons about how sort of these things get done before even 7-1, it almost makes you feel like Magic Johnson knows Paul George is coming. He doesn't probably know if LeBron James is coming. I think the LeBron James thing is interesting. And I think LeBron hearing this sort of things from Magic have to make you wonder if you want to put up with this bullshit. I don't know if LeBron James wants to deal with Magic Johnson in his ear. I think LeBron James respects Magic Johnson. I think he respects his elders. But at the same time, he knows he's LeBron James. He knows that if he's at Cleveland, he has full control over his team. I get the idea of LA, but I almost wonder if LA is still 3 years away. If LeBron's like, you know what? I don't want to really put up with Magic Johnson's bullshit. I don't want to deal with Magic Johnson in my ear telling me how to play basketball on a regular basis. And I know Magic's a mogul, and I know that he would help LeBron from an entrepreneurial standpoint, but I don't think LeBron wants to let Magic into his basketball world. That's me from an purely outside view, but that's how that quote from Magic Johnson struck me yesterday. I thought it was one of the, and Zach Lowe mentioned, like, hey, the Lakers are one of the most respected franchises in basketball, but the amount of eye rolling going on in basketball right now is, basketball circles, is ridiculous. That basically everybody's like, you guys are way too cocky. This is going to come back to bite you in the ass. And maybe this is what we mean by LeBron is staying in Cleveland. If he does stay in Cleveland, you wonder how Eric Bledsoe can go there. And you wonder if a Kevin Love deal is potentially on the table. It's definitely a conversation we'll have on this podcast. It's something I didn't mention in the blog because I said more LA. You know, we've talked about the Lonzo Ball deal. Eric Bledsoe is a LeBron guy. And the Bucks, if the Bucks are really adamant about getting rid of Bledsoe, they should immediately be on the phone with Rob Pelinka or Kobe Altman, whomever LeBron signs with, the next day to try to move Eric Bledsoe, because that, to me, is a logical choice. But yes, I feel like LeBron, as people have noted, it's down to Cleveland or LA. I really think that's true. I don't think anyone else is in the running. I think LeBron will make that decision. And we'll see. I think we'll have an answer by Monday, and we'll see what the fallout is from there. And if we don't, then we'll just kind of probably be on hold until we have a decision from LeBron, because nothing else happens without LeBron James making up his mind about where he's going to play next season. All right, we will talk to you tomorrow. Another Daily Tap, talk about the Brewers, Summerfest, and who knows what else comes out. You know, we'll see if we get any more LeBron news. We'll see if we get any more NBA free agency news, but you know where to find us. So tap WI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can also subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Google Play. Have yourselves a good Wednesday, Tappers. We're almost to the 4th of July holiday. We're going to get there. All right. See you later. Bye.